Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 77 of season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic.Reviews. Welcome back to the show, DJ.
I'm ready to yip and kaye. I'm ready. Let's go.
Are you ready to yip and kaye? All right,
Yes.
that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad. Because I was thinking of trading you in for my wife.
Oh, what? Change you for my wife.
So minute 77 begins with Esperanza becoming curious and ends with Baker getting ready to comment. So we ended things yesterday with John stopping Esperanza's William Wallace shout and.
The William Wallace show.
That William Wallace. That would have been interesting having Franco Nero do a Scottish accent. You're good at that. Can you do that? Do a Scottish accent for Franco Nero.
Oh,
Where's
anything for
Jay when
this.
you need him? Is that
Scottish accent. I always loved you. Always have. Always will. That's about as close as I got.
It's better than mine. I can't do any.
No. It's probably Irish. I don't even. It's my island. That's all I know from Braveheart. Just quoting lines from the movie.
That's true. All right. Makes sense. So basically, John belted him and Esperanza fell back. And then, John makes his quip about freaking flyer mileage, which we talked about yesterday. And then Esperanza just says to him, "Who are you?"
In the most normal human reaction ever, like
right.
what?
I just got punched in the face, but I'm just going to say, "Who are you?"
Like you open your door and somebody punches you in the face and start talking about frequent flyer miles, you'd be like, "Who are you?"
And you'd expect him to go, "I'm Batman."
I'm Batman.
Where's Michael Keaton when you need him?
Refresh my memory. Does Kevin Smith say something very similar to this in Live Free Die Hard? You know that movie better than me because I've seen it like three times, but I think he says the same kind of thing, like, "Who is this man?" or something to that effect.
He says
Something
something
very
like that. Yes,
similar.
but then he yells to his mother to stop,
Oh boy.
because he's in
Live
the
Free Die
basement. Yeah, but that's Kevin Smith. When we get there, we'll get there in a few seasons. But Kevin Smith
Yeah.
is basically just there as a glorified cameo. The
Right.
whole thing playing Warlock. So
Oh boy.
I
Oh boy. Oh boy.
wonder if that was his real like call sign. When he was a gamer.
Kevin Smith is a fake gamer. He doesn't play games.
You don't think he did
That is
it?
not
No,
him.
I'm saying as a kid, you
No.
don't think he did?
Maybe when he was 10. Kevin Smith is not a, what's the word I'm looking for? He authentic nerd. He's a Hollywood nerd. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Okay, all right. There's something to that. He goes, no, he says, "Who is this man?"
Yeah, who is
That's
this
what it
man? So I do vaguely remember
is. Yeah, because
that.
he said then he so he says to Matt, he says, "Why did you bring a cop to my command center?" And then McClane goes, "Command center, it's a basement."
Command center. Yeah, I God don't. You're refreshing my memory on the Die Hard. I remember that
He
scene.
goes, "Who is this man? Who was that masked man? Why,
That sounds like something
that was the Lone Ranger."
that dialogue sounds more like something Esperanza would say. Who is this man? Like some that sounds more
That's right.
Esperanzi.
That's true. That definitely makes sense. And then and John just re he actually doesn't even think and just responds and goes, "A cop. A cop? Yeah, one of the good guys, and you're one of the bad guys."
You're one of the bad guys.
"And now that I got your sorry ass, I'm gonna trade it for my wife."
And then one of the most inexplicable things in the I'm gonna
Well,
take you to a
one
random.
second, before we get there, I just want to comment on the fact that John says this. John does the classic villain move here and starts, he basically tells his plan to the other guy. Like, why do you tell them? I mean, obviously they're telling it so that we can hear it, but like, why does
And this is the most selfish we've ever seen John McClane in a movie ever, by the way.
That's right.
He doesn't say, "I'm going to trade you in to save everyone." No. I don't care about them. I want my wife. I don't care about
I
them.
want my
The rest
wife.
of the planes can fall from the sky. I just want to save my wife.
I want my wife who's going to dump my ass in a few years. So, yeah.
So what is John's plan? I'm going to take Esperanza. And I'm going to let you make, I'm going to give them to you if you land my wife's plan. I'm going to take my wife and I'm going to leave. And then everybody else, screw them.
That's right. Your plan? That's his plan.
Wow. Anti-hero John McClane.
It's a great plan. Well, come on. In the original Die Hard, he wanted to save Holly also. Come on.
Well, he wanted to save Holly, yes, but he was also saving other people. I mean, other than Ellis. But he was trying to save other people. Get off the roof. If Holly wasn't there, he could have just walked away and went bouncing right back down the stairs. He was trying to get him off the roof. That was him trying to save people. In this movie, he's like, nah, I'm going to trade you for my wife.
That's right. That's it. Because I'm one That's of the it. Good guys.
Technically, I'm a good guy. But I mean, what I just said kind of sounds like I'm a bad guy. But whatever.
That's right.
William Matheson's on the plane, too. So that kind of makes it a wash.
That's true also. We'll get him a little bit this week. You'll get talk a little bit about him. Yes. So, okay. Now I'll let you take over. What would you like to say?
Inexplicably, William Sadler's men show up and open fire, which is something I always laugh at. I'm like, you guys are, you're inaccurate, but you're accurate, because what if one of those bullets were to just go through Frank Nero?
That's right.
You have no idea. You're just shooting blindly at McClane, but Esperanza's standing like right next to him. And they're like lined up. So let's say you did hit McClane. The bullet would probably go through McClane and hit Esperanza.
Correct.
So you're lucky you missed, I guess.
Okay, but let's look at it from the other side. Why are they even shooting? How do they know that John is there? Like, they just show up at the plane. We don't see them show up at the plane. They show up the plane and they automatically see that Esperanza is in danger and decide to start shooting at him.
I guess they see somebody who's not them there. That's why they shoot.
How do they know it's not Esperanza?
Well,
no beard.
Well, he's not wearing a military outfit. He's wearing like a coat. So Esperanza's in a military garb. So he's standing at the door with a gun drawn. So I'm assuming that's why they shoot. But it's very close to where Esperanza is standing. It's just like, freeze would have been what I would have said. Don't move. Drop the gun. Open fire, because if you hit Esperanza, that's the end of your whole mission.
That's right, we're done.
You think William Sadler, what the fuck? Yo, what are you guys doing? Hold your fire, man. There's a guy right, we're trying to get this guy right here. Our whole plan is to get this guy, and you're just shooting hails of bullets at him.
That's right.
Right there.
And then John...
Oh, and they show up out of nowhere. That's right. I skipped over a part where they literally appear out of...
Well, they don't even appear. The bullets appear.
It's true. The bullets appear. That's right.
Somehow they're shooting. And what's even greater is that, John starts shooting back, and then we see the Jeep pull up and they open the doors of the Jeep. So how are they shooting beforehand? Through the window? Because now they open the doors. So why would they open the doors if they were shooting through the windows?
That somebody was standing in the back of the Jeep and shooting. Either way, a lot of this is technologically flawed.
There's only four of them there. Come on, they're down to seven.
Yeah. I look, if I'm Esperanza, and rightfully, as we get on during the week, he is pissed. But I'd be more. But guys, why did you just shoot him? You could have hit me.
That's right.
Careful. Calm down.
That's right.
Hold your fire, for Christ's sake.
So John said a few minutes ago that we were talking about, and he says he's a cop. So where do you think the term cop comes from? I mean, we know that it's an endearing term for a police
copper,
officer.
I don't know. What is the term? I would love to know where this comes from.
Okay, so first of all, the word police comes from the Greek word politeia, which means government. Okay, which is then civil administration, and it's a general term for the function of law enforcement officer or a peace officer. Okay, if you have the term sheriff, the sheriff is basically the top police officer of a county, and it comes from the person who used to be in charge of enforcing laws in the Shire, not in Middle Earth, but.
Baggins? it's a cop? Are you wearing a wire, Bilbo?
Bilbo is undercover.
Are you wearing a wire, Bilbo?
Right. So, I mean, basically a cop, the term cop is a nickname for a police officer. And it comes from the verb use of the word to cop, which means to arrest. And it could also mean to grab.
Oh, cop a plea, I've
That's
heard.
True. And someone who has captured someone is coppering. So that's the same way that comes there also. But also, originally, police officers used to have badges that were made of copper. So therefore, they would call them coppers.
So I was right. I was on the right track when I said
yeah,
copper.
Yeah, yeah, I knew you were copper. going in the right direction. So, yeah. Right. So, you know, John starts shooting back. The Jeep shows up. The doors fling open. We see Stewart in the front shooting, you know, from the passenger seat. And then behind him, Thompson gets out and starts shooting also. And then then John shoots again, and we see Thompson get hit. And I never noticed this until this time. I always thought he just gets shot in the chest and falls down, right? But if you watch it,
oh yeah, I'm in the head.
No, he got him in the neck.
Oh really? I thought he got him in the head because his head goes backwards. So I think I thought he had him in the neck, in the forehead. That's what I thought.
Based on what I saw, it looks like he hits him in the neck because I see like a mark on his neck, you know, as he's. Falling.
That would be a bad. That would be a bad. That's bad direction then, because if you get hit in the neck, you don't. You would grab immediately. I seen Extraction 2 and 1. You grab for your neck when you get shot in the neck. You be in the neck. That's why I thought you got hit in the head, because he kind of like drops, right. Like it's
yeah,
automatic.
Yeah, he definitely drops, but they never show. We don't see blood coming out of his head. You see a mark. I can see a mark on his neck, but you know, I don't know. I like I said, I always thought he was just shot as he was running towards him, and that's pretty much you know, the way it is. Now the car is still running in the background, and then we have both Garber and Baker run out from the other sides to also join in shooting, and I love the way that Thompson just like slides down as he falls on his back, you know, as John is still. Shooting, and we see all these sparks flying around John because they're getting close to him, and then John jumps into the plane itself, and he's lying on the ground, and he sees that Esperanza's starting to run away, and Esperanza at this point starts pulling out his gun. Don't you think he should have done it while John was shooting a few seconds ago, when John wasn't?
I think so. Yes. I think so. Yes. Especially because he told John again, told him his plan. So he knows, well, John can't or really doesn't want to kill me. So I have carte blanche. If I have a headway to go for my gun, I know it's not going to be, he might hit me, which he does, but he's not going to kill me because he needs me. So I'm looking for any opportunity to kill this guy. I got a leg up on this.
Now, I'm also a little confused as to why his gun is in his pocket because, you know, we saw him yesterday pick up the gun. And he was holding the gun in his hand as he was walking out, you know, trying to walk out for freedom. At some point, we don't see where he puts the gun away. So
he grabs it off the dashboard. And after he grabs it from the dashboard, is he holding it when he opens the door?
No.
No,
by the time he opens the door, it's not there anymore.
You're saying that John did a horrible cop stuff and did not search his.
Well, he didn't have time. He didn't have time because he needed time to do his, to give over his clip
to talk about
frequent flyer mileage, and also
he had to talk about frequent flyer. Look, you have to have time for a quip. It's either do the quip or search him and don't do the quip. You got to make decision, and he did. John had to make a decision real quick.
So you're saying it's the quip or not the quip?
The quip or not the quip? That is the question. It's better to be funny in the mind.
There you go.
Quick on the draw. Shakespeare kids. This is yes. To be or not to be, whatever. Not to be.
Not to be. I just watched that the other day. Yes. Not to
I be. Want a 2-hour movie of that. I want a 2-hour movie of John McTiernan directing Arnold Schwarzenegger in Hamlet. I want two, maybe 2.5
Wait
hours
a second. You please. Still want McTiernan please. To do that? I don't know.
Still, I don't care, man. I'm not a huge fan of Last Action Hero, But the part that makes me laugh the most is that whole thing. That whole Polonius, you killed my father. I love that whole thing. That whole thing.
Yes, do that really well. So Esperanza starts drawing, and apparently he's not as good of a cowboy as you apparently think he is.
Yes, he's not.
That's right. And John picks up his gun and shoots him, and happens to get him in the arm. You know, John's the only one who actually makes contact here. You know.
Right. It's a hail of bullets. John's
the only one. And John, with one shot, gets him in his arm. You know. I'm sure, like, someone, maybe even Mark, did a statistics of, like, who's the best shot in Die Hard or something like that, you know.
I gotta ask,
because I know that
that's,
I know good, that they've done that question. In Star Wars, and apparently they claim that Queen Amidala has the best hit rate surgical. Of anyone.
She's surgical in that because I'm remembering her shooting stuff, and she's, I don't remember her that's missing right. a lot. she's in a lot of droids.
That's right. Well, why not? If you can. And then John, you know, decides that he's going to make himself safer and go into the cockpit, which is really smart, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. Just get away from them.
I do. We kind of skipped over, but I do. And it always does also makes me laugh. The Bruce Willis line.
Sit delivery down.
Sit down. I do love that every time.
Yes. Yes. He tells his Bronzer to sit down as he's shooting him. And, you know, we hear Baker that says, I'm going in. And someone says, I got you covered. And then Baker shows up and says to Esperanza, where'd he go? Esperanza goes, in there. And then, you know, Esperanza gets so upset. He goes, I don't believe this. 2 months of planning, and you can't anticipate one pendejo of a cop. Now, I find this very, very fascinating, the fact that they've actually told us that they had 2 months of planning. We've speculated up until now as to how long, you know, they had to plan this whole operation. You know, two months is a lot longer than we thought. But the question is whether they knew, you know, that maybe they were able to plan the structure of what they were going to do. But the actual, you know, execution of things, they only knew a few days beforehand. Okay, he's going to come into Dulles. His flight's coming in at this time, you know, and they're going to be taking him, the Justice Department people are going to be taking him to this place, and this is what we have to do and stuff like that. You know, I guess, but the overall plan, 2 months, it sounds fair for them to have to plan something like this.
It's less than you thought, but more than
correct.
It's required, I think, because they not only, they take over an airport. That's a lot. That to me, that's, I mean, you've surpassed Danny Ocean levels of planning here. This should be months and months.
Not necessarily, because we've actually speculated over the last few months that it's very possible this is that unit's specialty. No, they never mention it. But I'm saying, instead of having to train each of the guys, you know, and how to use the various, you know, control tower equipment and all that stuff, maybe this is their specialty, that they send them into, you know, all these different countries to take over airports in order to, I don't know, help with a coup or something like that.
John Amos doesn't go over his bona fides. I thought they say something about that. I thought John Amos said something.
No, he says he was one of mine. He said, I taught him everything he knows. And then John says, well, maybe he's learned something since then.
So
he doesn't mention anything specifically about it. But again, that's the speculation, that is the specialty of this unit, which then would make sense. You know, that's why, you know, 2 months of planning. Okay. You know, I can believe that. Right. And then basically we see John trying to stay safe. And then Esperanza shoots a bullet at the door where John just went. Now, how is he doing that if he's been shot in the arm?
He got grazed. He grazed him. He grazed him.
That's fine. True. He is able to later on fly a plane.
It's silly because
he can't do that. He must have only grazed
him. Right.
It's true.
But if he, it'd be funnier if he fired that bullet and it ricocheted and hit him in the arm again, because you're firing a gun at a metal door. You don't know where the hell that bullet's going through.
And then Baker just opens up fire on the doorway, you know, just shooting bullet after bullet after bullet. And you know, we see all of the, we see from the inside where Baker is, all these different flashes of light that look like fire. I don't know why they would make them look that way. But then on the other side, when you see John looking at it, you see all these dents, you know, happening in the cockpit door. So that's all a lot of fun also. And then John notices that there are two corpses in the room with him.
Again, as you do, as that's John right. McClane does.
Yeah.
More corpses.
Why not? But, you know, Baker notices that shooting at the cockpit doesn't really do anything. Baker says to him, "Come on, General." And then Esperanza's response is, "Where the hell is Colonel Stewart?"
he's legitimately angry. Like, I'm not taking his side here, but I mean, I land a plane. I have to do a whole bunch of rigmarole just to kill these guys and take over the plane. I land a plane. I'm punched in the face and shot within seconds of me landing. So yeah.
Well, did you see how Baker helps him out the door? He like grabs him and pulls him.
Yeah. On the bad arm.
Exactly. On his bad arm, which he's holding. And then Baker.
You know what's funny? If Baker, as much as Baker knows, they could have shot him. They don't know John McClane shot him. They fired a hail of bullets toward Nero. So he could have been, that could have been a shot that they could have hit him with.
That would be very problematic. I can see that being problematic, yeah. So then Baker takes an axe and puts it to jam the doorway so that John can't get out. I love how they do that in movies always. You know, people, you know, when they put like a chair up against the doorknob, you know, okay, you're not going to be able to open the door now.
I've tried that before. It kind of works. It doesn't really. I mean, if you use enough
force, if you're using the force,
roll away. But I've done the put the chair against. not the force. I know we were talking about Padme earlier, but no.
If you're using enough force.
physical force, you could just knock the chair away from the door. But it can work. Possible. Axe, I guess, yeah. Will work. It just. He's just lucky it's a pull.
That's right. Well, I also wonder, you know, like he puts the axe, it looks like there's a space for the axe to go. You know, like this is how you keep the pilots in the plane.
How you keep the door closed. But it's an old school plane.
That's right. We don't know how to keep this. We have an axe on board.
It's like a drawbridge door. You know, they have little slots for the.
That's right. And then Esperanza leaves with Baker from the thing, and we click. First of all, they show us Thompson's body just lying there, like nobody's done anything about it. They don't care.
Yeah. Terrorists. Who cares?
There's no band. They're not Band of Brothers. Thompson's dead. No problem.
No. Though they would definitely be, but you'd think that if you want to separate them from, you know, Hans's men. You would make them like, because they are a military unit. This would be the perfect time for them to be very, like, exactly. Very angry about that.
That's right. And then Stewart goes, walks up to Esperanza and goes, "General." And he goes, "I'm all right." He said he was a policeman.
Right.
"I thought you had this place secured."
That's right. Snaps at him. All right.
And then we get. That's right.
He's been shot and punched.
And then we get like a fraction of a second of Baker's face as he just like looks on very confused. He's about to say something. Who knows? You know, and again, you know, we see the four of them. We see Garber, Stewart, Esperanza, and Baker standing there. And you still see Thompson's body on the ground with his arm up.
Anybody help me? Guys, I'm not dead.
Someone call 911.
Anybody want to help? Guys? Guys, he grazed me. I just lost, you know, my legs a little numb. You can pick me up? No?
Exactly.
No,
and that's how this minute ends. Now, I just wanted to ask one thing. He uses the word pendejo.
Yes.
Right? So do you know what that means?
It's not asshole. I'm pretty sure that's asshole, right?
I don't know. What I found was it's either idiot, stupid, or dumbass. So it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you have anything else for this minute, DJ?
No, I do. Again, it's Frank Nero just chewing the hell out of the scenery. I love me some Frank Nero. I want right. You have the script with you. I want to see.
Yes, I do.
What Nero changed here? Let me see if it's exactly word for word. He's a professional, so maybe he followed the script. But I have a feeling he might have done a little ad lib.
All right. Well, Esperanza starts off by saying, "Who are you?" He stutters as he's saying it, making it sound as if he's scared. And what Mutz McClane's job response in the movie? He just says a cop. Here he says, just a cop who spent half his career busting scumbag low-life dope dealers. Looks like it's business as usual.
Think
this will look good on my record?
Overwritten. That's too overwritten.
Yeah, completely. No, it's great just to say a cop.
I'm a cop.
Suddenly, bullets ping on the hatch, inches from McClane's head. Esperanza goes, no. McClane dives and rolls into the cabin. It reminds me of Hans, where he goes, You were saying. That's right. McClane dives and rolls into the cabin, fires twice out the door, and then almost on instinct whirls. Esperanza snatched up a rifle from the dead corporal, but McClane's shot hits him in the shoulder. With a howl, Esperanza falls backwards, but hangs onto his gun. Garber and another man are at the hatchway, rifles up. McClane fires, blowing a hole in Thompson's throat. And as Garber slugs come closer, McClane dives into the cockpit, bullets smacking all around him from Garber and Esperanza. McClane slams the door behind him, locks it. Bullets ping into the door, which indents from the hits which don't penetrate it. Garber helps Esperanza down outside, out of the plane, down the steps. Stewart runs to him. General. Esperanza indicating his wound. I'm all right. He said he was a policeman. A policeman. Push to Stewart. He knows which policeman.
So yeah, I had a feeling Nero added the other stuff. I had a feeling.
Yeah.
Where they told him to say, you know, they gave him some stuff on the fly.
That's right. And John doesn't say anything about the fact that you're the good guys, I'm the good guys, you're the bad guys, and I'm going to trade.
Why? Because the guy for my wife. Right? Yeah, because that seems very un-John McClane, where he's just like, yeah, I don't care about anyone else.
That's the question. Who wrote that? Is that just a Bruce Willis ad lib? And then they said, we'll just leave it in.
The good guys and the bad guys, that's cool, but it's the whole, I'm going to trade you for my wife, where I'm like, little problematic there, Johnny boy, yeah. John boy.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, so every Tuesday we have a segment called Disaster Tuesday.
Okay.
Where, because in this movie we deal with an airplane disaster, actually two, if you think about it. So, what I decided to do was to try and find some interesting accidents that have happened, airplane disasters that are somehow connected in some way or another to my guest.
Okay.
All right. So
I did nothing. I'm in it, guys. He's about to say, I didn't do nothing. I'm innocent.
I didn't say that you were responsible.
It's something you insinuated. You insinuated.
Okay. So let me clarify. It's something that happened. It's something that happened geographically close to where you live.
FAA is going to be hunting me down because of you. I hope you're happy now.
Well, being the fact that I know that you were only 18 when this happened, so I'm assuming you didn't really have much to do with this. Okay.
You're assuming I did nothing. I am an innocent. Oh, God. Well, let's talk about my crimes. Go ahead. Let's go ahead.
Okay, have you ever heard the name Rodney Dwayne Culver?
No.
Okay, so he was a football player. He was a running back who played in the NFL for both the Colts and the San Diego Chargers. He played a total of 43 games in his life, rushed 689 yards, 241 carries, and 12 touchdowns, throughout his career. He was on a plane that was traveling is Value Jet Flight 592. Okay.
Value Jet.
You do? Okay.
I do remember Value Jet, yes.
You remember the airline, you're saying, not necessarily the
thing. Yeah, the airline, not the plane. I was not there. I had no connection. It's a publicly traded company. I'm aware of value chain.
That's right. So he and his wife were on a flight that flew from Miami to Atlanta, and on May 11th, 1996, the plane crashed 10 minutes after takeoff from Miami, and it landed in the Everglades.
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, I think that might have banked. Did that bank? Oh, you have the stats here. Did that bankrupt the company? Because ValueJet was like.
Yes. It was sort of. Thing. Let's put it this way. It didn't bankrupt the company, but it wasn't their first accident. Okay, there were 110 people that were killed, and it was as a result of a fire in the cargo department, cargo compartment, that was caused by mislabeled and improperly stored hazardous cargo. So basically what happened, the plane was delayed an hour and 4 minutes because of mechanical problems. Okay, they had 105 passengers with, flight crew plus two, the pilot, co-pilot, and then three flight attendants. At 10 minutes after the flight took off, the passengers started to smell smoke, and the pilots heard a loud bang. And then they noticed that the plane was starting to lose electrical power. Apparently, this was caused by a tire that was somehow in the cargo hold exploded.
What?
All right. And what they found afterwards was that the plane was it carrying? Something that it wasn't supposed to be carrying, obviously. Basically, what they had there was 144 expired chemical oxygen generators. Okay. That were not supposed to be there, and they exploded and caused the fire, and eventually brought down the plane.
I do remember the news of that. I remember Everglades is maybe 20 minutes from where I am.
Okay, I knew you were you were culpable.
Yes. I'm not culpable. He's culpable. No. I have nothing to do with oxygen tanks or tires.
Right. So unfortunately, because of the place of where the plane crashed, they were only able to eventually identify 68 of the 110 people on board. Many of them were just identified by bone fractions that they had of some of them. One of them was even just a single tooth, because there was just so much that to this day, the pilot has never been identified, his body. But because it crashed in the Everglades, so they had problems because there are alligators there and,
pythons and panthers.
Yeah.
And Everglades is you ever see the movie Swamp Thing? That is the Everglades. It's but probably more foliage. So it's like if you land there, one, you're gonna sink. Two, there's the volume of predators that are there. In Florida, and over like the last decade or so, has been overrun by animals that were brought here from other countries that were let loose, like pythons and iguanas and stuff. We have iguanas. I'm looking at an iguana right now down the street. But out my window, because somebody brought one as a pet and let it go. We got parrots here. And the Everglades is like any jungle you've ever seen. It's just in spurts throughout the state, where you're go to Alligator Alley on the left and right. There's literally a swamp. So if you crash there or you go missing there, put it this way. If you're going to get rid of a body, the place you want to go is the Everglades.
Apparently. Very easy. In 2013, someone actually found a gold pendant around the area of where this plane crashed, but it's also relatively close to where the Eastern Airlines Flight 401 crashed in 1970, I think it was 77 or 78, which was only, it crashed 2 miles away. Jeez. So they're saying that this pendant couldn't come from either of them or anything like that.
It's the flight path of most planes coming into Florida. You fly right over the Everglades still to this day. So, Yeah, man. Again, I was not there, but I do remember ValueJet, and I do remember ValueJet closing.
Right. So after this crash, ValueJet was grounded for many, many months because they had numerous crashes. This was the first one with fatalities. but they ended up grounding them, and then they were bought up by another company, and then that company was having problems also because, you know, they basically, everyone knew that they were using ValueJet Airlines, which were airlines that were basically bought up. You know, there were planes that were retired, and then they bought them up. You know, like this plane that crashed was originally used for Delta from April 18th of 1969 until it was retired in 1992, and then it was sold in 1993 to ValueJet. So, you know, it's like, you know, we've just retired this plane because it's very old, but hey, you know, if ValueJet wants to use it, why not?
Somebody had some expired milk, and then somebody bought the milk and then tried to resell it at the grocery store.
They didn't change the name of the grocery store.
No. You know, so. For half price. They gave it, that's where go. The value comes in. It's not as much as you know, everybody else, but you know, you're gonna crash. So
yeah, but they basically, you know, they had a reputation of being very unsafe and for being lax on safety measures, which obviously is not a good thing for an airline.
No.
Exactly. All right. So, DJ, you want to once again tell people where they can find DJ Valentine?
Not in the Everglades. I'm going to be on the Simplistic Reviews podcast. You can search that by going simplistic.reviews, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff, YouTube. Yes, I'm on there. And yeah, check it out.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. Pendejo.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here